Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today is Yuma Daf Pei Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Pei Vov. The Gemara opens with a quote of that which was mentioned earlier. You will notice an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow a few lines up and see where this quote comes from. Omar Mar, Lefi Shenemar B'chorev Tshuva V'niko. The Gemara earlier had been discussing the ability of Tshuva, of penitence, to atone for negative commands. So the source mentioned that in that particular source, it was mentioned that penitents will atone for standard chayvei lavin, for standard negative commands, but not for the offense of bearing the name of the Almighty in vain. So the Gemara right now, having quoted from that source, that it said that at Mount Sinai, Tshuva V'nika was mentioned. Minolon, where do we know this from? The Sanya. We have a Tanaic source, Rebbe Elozer Omer, E.F. Shalomar Nika. You can't say that there is cleansing, Shikvar Nehmar, Lo Yinake. It says in the Ten Commandments, Ki Lo Yinake Hashem Es Asher Yiso Es Shemo Lashav. V.F. Shalomar Lo Yinake. And you can't say that there is no cleansing, shekvar nemar nake, because it says in the pasuk that he will cleanse, he will atone. Hoketzad, how do you resolve these two? One pasuk says nake, and the other phrase says lo yinake. In fact, Rashi points out on the fourth line from the top, ef shalomar nake shekvar nemar lo yinake dechtiv. Nake, lo yinake gabi hadodi. That posuk is not what we refer to in the Ten Commandments, but that appears in Parshas Kisisa. Nake, lo yinake. So how do you resolve the seeming contradiction in expressions? Nake means he forgives or he cleanses. Lo yinake indicates he doesn't. So the Gemara answers, menake hu l'shavin. He cleanses or atones for those that repent, and he doesn't atone for those that don't repent. We should point out, by the way, that the opening of today's Gemara, we quoted the phrase Lefi Shenemar B'chorev. Chorev was in fact a reference to Mount Sinai, but more specifically to the incident of the Egel Hazov that took place there, at which time Moshe Rabbeinu had prayed for them, mentioning the 13 attributes of the Almighty, and in that prayer, this phrase was mentioned, Nake, Lo Yinake. So, we just explained that Nake, he will cleanse, or he atones for those that repent, and Lo Yinake for those who don't. The source continues, Shoal Rav Masya ben Chorosh es Rebbe Elozer ben Azariah Baromi. Rav Masya asks Rebbe Elozer in Rome, Shomato arbo chiluke kapora shohoyo Rebbe Shmuel Dorish. Are you familiar with the four categories of atonement that Rebbe Shmuel used to lecture on? Omar, so he responded, Shloishohen, there are three categories, Utshuva im kol echad ve'echad, and with each one there is repentance. And here he goes down through the those three categories. And that's what we've highlighted with our triangle marking. On the side of the Gemara, you see under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the triangle, and we've indicated Chalukei V'Dirug Kapora. We'll see a certain classification, a hierarchy in terms of atonement. So the first triangle, Ovar Alaseh Vishov, if a person violated a negative command. For example, he did not put on tefillin one day. So that's a violation of a negative, of a mitzvah, say a negative, of a positive command. So he was over on the asay, he violated and did not fulfill the positive command, vishav, and then repented. Eino zoz misham ad shemochlin lo. He doesn't leave his spot until he is forgiven. In other words, in the event of the violation of a positive command, so with atonement, with the repentance, there is forgiveness. Shenemar shuvu bonim shovavim. And the pasuk goes on to say, erpo mishuvo sechem. Rashi says, shuvu bonim umiyad erpo. And immediately after the tshuva, after the penitence, there is refuah, there is healing. Lomadato shiesh avera shemechaperes b'tshuva levado. This shows us that there is a type of offense that tshuva alone, that penitence alone, is effective in atoning. We continue in the Gemara text. We have a second triangle. Ovar aloisase v'osu tshuva. If a person violated a negative command and then he repented, tshuva toilov yom kippur mechaper. So the tshuva, the repentance that the sinner expressed, is effective to suspend things, but he has to wait for his full atonement. He has to wait for Yom Kippur. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ki beyom hazeh yichaper aleichem mikol chatoseichem." That on this day, meaning on Yom Kippur, you will receive atonement. Indicating that there are averos, there are offenses, that tshuva alone is not enough, but you have to wait for Yom Kippur. Third category, Ovar, Al-Krisus, Umisus, Beisdin, the Osa Tshuva. Notice in each one of the cases, as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mentioned, that tshuva accompanies each one of them, and we tried to highlight that with our dashed underlining as we are going along here. So the third category is a more serious level offense where a person sins in mitzvos that carry with their violation a kores penalty or a capital punishment at the hands of Beis Din. So if someone violated that level sin and he did tshuva, he atoned, so or he repented. So tshuva v'yom kippurim tolin v'isurin memarkin, the repentance and the passage of Yom Kippur suspend matters until the violator experiences isurin, and they memar isurin are troubles, pains, and then those memarkin, that cleanses him, that atones for him. Shenemar ufokadati b'shevet pisham uvinigoim avonam. And in this pasuk you see a reference to a shevet is a rod whereby they will be smitten and pain inflicted on them, and through that they receive their atonement. Avol, the source goes on, mi sheyesh chilul Hashem biyado, someone who has sinned and caused others to sin. That's Rashi's definition here, and there was this reference to this in Rashi elsewhere. Machti achirim, causes others to sin as well. That's the chilul Hashem. Ein koyach loy betshuva litlos v'lo bikirum l'chaper. There is, for offenses like that, so there's no strength in the repentance to suspend, and in Yom Kippur to atone. The lo bisurin lamarek, nor is there strength in even the pain that this offender experiences to cleanse him. Elokulon toilin, rather all of those, if he did the repentance, Yom Kippur passed, and he also experienced Yisurin, so all those together will really suspend any fate that he will he's to suffer. Umisum emarekis. And finally, death will cleanse him. Shnemar v'nigbos ne'ashem tzvokos, im yichu parov anazeh lochem ad temusim. And the Almighty revealed that there won't be forgiveness until there is death. Having stated that Chilul Hashem is such a severe offense that all these other situations are not effective. In other words, we say situations were including Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurin. So here the Gemara says, "Hechi domi Chilul Hashem." So give us practical examples of what Chilul Hashem is. Omar Rav. Now here we have a series marking. You see the double underline, and as you go down the next number of lines, you see a number of opinions, and that is what we've noted on the side of the one. There are no say mivne heading. The double underline highlights Deos behechidomi Chilul Hashem. How do you describe what is Chilul Hashem? So the Gemara continues, Hechi domi chilul Hashem, Omar Rav, kegon ano, someone like myself, ishakilno bisra mitapcho, if I were to take meat from a butcher shop, velo yahivno domi la'alter, and I would not pay him immediately. So taking goods without paying immediately, people, onlookers, will say, oh, he's a thief. He's taking without paying. And they'll learn from me, and this is where we mentioned before the idea of machdias rabim, and they'll learn from me that one can be lax with regard to theft. The Gemara has a section that we put in brackets now, and on the side we've written Sograyim L'Shem Dilug. These brackets are for an initial skipping. Kedei Litzor Retzef B'Deos B'Mahu Chilul Hashem, so that we can preserve or create a sense of continuity in the opinions as to what category, what class qualifies as Chilul Hashem. B'Sochem HaGemara Marchivo Al Divrei Rav. Within the brackets, the Gemara elaborates on that which Rav said. So that having been said, then, that the structure is clear. Right after this, the brackets, you see a double underline under Rabbi Yochanan. He gives his explanation of what Chilul Hashem is. So in the meantime, we most recently heard Rav's explanation, one who were to take meat from a butcher shop and not pay immediately, that would be Chilul Hashem. Omar Abaye, Abaye comments, and we're reading the section in the brackets now, Lo Shonu, Elo Ba'asra de Lo Tavi. The problem Rav described is a problem only in a community where the butcher doesn't seek out payment. Avo Ba'asra de Tavi, in places where vendors seek out their money, so less lon ba, then you can take. You can take without paying immediately, and people aren't going to get the wrong impression that you're stealing. People understand that vendors will seek out payment at their convenience. Rashi says, Ba'asra de lo tavi, she'ein derech hatabuch lelech lidboa kfosof, where it's not the custom of the store owners to seek out the that which they sold on credit. The hakafosof is reference to stuff sold on credit. And in places where it's low tavi, so it's upon the customer to eventually take the responsibility of bringing the money to the seller. However, as Abaye says, if you're in a place where the vendors are not bashful and they seek out the money that's due to them, so then the situation that Rav described wouldn't constitute a Chilul Hashem. Omar Ravina, Umasa Mechasya Asr de Tavi Hu. Ravina points out that the city of Mechasya, which was his place, that's a place where the store owners are not bashful and will seek out that which is owed to them. Abaye, Kedishokil Bisra, Mitre Shutvi, Abaye himself, when he would buy meat from two owners, from two partners, so you have to imagine that there's a, let's say, a store that's owned by two partners, and you took meat from that store. So Abaye would pay money, Yohiv Zuzulahai, Vizuzulahai, he would pay each partner the value of the meat that he took. Then he would bring the two partners together some later occasion and make a cheshbon how much is really due back to Ravina, or we should say due back to Abaye, who did this. The Rashi adds here, Yohiv Zusalahai, Zusalahai, Shema lo yoda chavero, she nosativ lo, v'yesh kan chil Hashem. The fear on Abaye's part was that if I didn't pay both partners, if I paid one, the other partner knows about the sale, but he's not aware that I paid his partner the money. So in order to make sure that there's no misunderstanding, Abaye would pay both partners the price of that meat that he took. As we pointed out, after a while, then he would bring them together, and it would be clarified that Abaye paid twice, and that he has money that's due to be returned. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kigon Ano. If you want to know what Chil Hashem is, it would be someone like myself. De Masgino Arba Amos Beloi Torah Ubelo Tfilin. If I were to walk even as small a distance as 4 amos without wearing tefillin and without learning Torah, that would be L'chil Hashem. People would see me, they wouldn't realize that I'm tired, and that's why I'm not learning. So I take it upon myself that even when I would be fatigued and I'd have to constantly be learning, so people wouldn't learn from me that one can be mevatel Torah, that one can go through the day not studying Torah, when in fact, if you're not preoccupied with something that's absolutely demanding, if someone has a job and he has to work at his job, so of course he isn't expected to be learning Torah at that time. However, when he's not working at his job and he's not doing something else that demands his attention, a person is expected to be learning. So Rav Yochanan was fearful that people aren't going to realize why he's not learning, so he had to make sure that he wouldn't go even 4 amos without learning and also without wearing tefillin. Rabbi Yitzchok Debei Rabbi Yanai Omar. Rabbi Yitzchok of the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai says, Kol Shechaverov Mizbaishin Machmas Shmu Asoi. With Chil Hashem is something that causes that a person's behavior causes his friends to be embarrassed. In other words, a person who conducts himself, let's say, in a loose way, a loose moral way, he could be guilty of Chil Hashem, because people start to murmur about this guy and his questionable lifestyle, bringing shame unto his friends. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Again, he too addresses the issue of what's Chil Hashem. Kagon de ko amri inshi shoro le more leplanyo. A person whose behavior brings on the reaction of others saying that God should forgive that person. So behavior like that that brings on such a reaction would be categorized as Chilul Hashem. Abaye Omar Kidisanya. Abaye says, if you want to know what Chilul Hashem is, so it's like that which is taught in this source. The source opens with the pasuk Va'afto es Hashem Elokecha, and we learn from that Shehashem Shemaim Misahev Al Yodecha, that the name of heaven shall be beloved through your actions. Shehay Korei V'Shonim Mishamit Hamchomim. Person should be a student of the Torah, the written Torah, the oral Torah, and learn Gemara. Shamish Tamichom, and Rashi points out, means the study of Gemara, Vihei Maso Matano Be'amuna, and his business dealings should be faithful, the Diburo Benachas Imabrios, and he speaks pleasantly with the those around him, Mahabrios Omros Olof, what reaction will this kind of person draw? So the result will be, people say, Ashrei lo leploni shalom atura. Fortunate is such a person that learned Torah. Ashrei oviv shalimdo Torah. Fortunate is father that taught him Torah. Ashrei rabo shalimdo Torah. And fortunate is his teacher that taught him Torah. Oy lahem lebriya shalo lamdu Torah. Woe unto those people that don't engage in Torah study. Ploni shalimdo Torah. Re'u kama noyim drachov. Kama sukonim maisov. So-and-so, Ploni is so-and-so, that was taught Torah. Look how pleasant his ways are, how fine his behavior is. Olav HaKosev Omer, someone like that, that causes such a reaction on the part of the public. It says, "Vayomer li avdi ato Yisrael shebuches poer." Regarding someone like that brings endearment to the Torah because of his behavior. So the pasuk says, "You are my servant, and through you I will achieve glory." That's all on the positive side. Aval, on the negative, mishakara v'shoinev v'shoshan lechomim, a person who studied Torah, he studied Chumash, he studied Mishnayos, he studied Gemara, v'ein maso matano be'emuna, v'ein dibur v'nachas imabrios, he doesn't deal in good faith with his with clients, with customers, and he doesn't speak pleasantly with others. So, Mahabrios Amrasalov, what do people comment about someone like that? Oi loi leploni shalomat Torah. Woe unto so-and-so that learned Torah. Oi lo la'oviv shalomat Torah. Woe unto his father that taught him Torah. Oi lo la'rabo shalomat Torah. And woe unto his teacher that taught him Torah. Ploni shalomat Torah. Ru kama mekukala myself. Look at so-and-so who studied so much Torah. And look how unfortunate are his ways. How unpleasant are his ways. That's kama mekukala myself. Kama mechu'orin d'rachav. And how distasteful or disgusting are his ways. The love of Omer regarding someone like that, the pasuk says, "Be'mor lohem am Hashem ele ume artzoi yotzo." This look and behold this nation that was forced out of their land. Now, if we look in the Rashi, he completes the picture. Rashi we're looking at is a number of lines up from here. It's more than halfway down, though. Rashi says, "Be'mor lohem am Hashem ele etzu kora kosuf chil Hashem." It's this that the Torah calls a disparaging of the name of Hashem. Kishodom choshev over avira ponus abolov, when an important individual sins and then punishment befalls him. Vakol omrim mahu ilulo. People say all his Torah learning, of what benefit was it to him? Re'e hachasidim v'chachamim ro'a bo aleihem. Behold, the pious ones and the scholars, look how evil or how bad befalls them. Shneimar v'yachalu eshem kodshi, they desecrate my name. V'machalu, and through what do they desecrate his name? Be'mor aleihem hanochrim shegolu v'neihem, when the idol worshippers, amongst whom the Jews went into exile, say, "Re'u am Hashem Eile." Look at the Jewish people. V'lo yochol lahatzilam shelo yiglu. Look at the Almighty. He wasn't strong enough to save them from being sent into the diaspora, into exile. Nimsa shame shayas chalal kvodus might. Through this, through the fact that as a result of sinning, then they have to be sent into exile. But this arouses the reaction of the surrounding Gentile communities, as we saw, and the result being their claim that the Almighty has limitations and was unable to save them. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneherin, where you have a bow tie, a new marking, and it's a Sidros Shel Memros al Gadlus Tshuva, a series of comments on the greatness, the importance of repentance. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Gedoylo Tshuva Shemeviya Refua Leolam. Great is repentance that brings healing to the world. Shenemar Erpa Meshuvasam Ohavam Nidava. So in this pasuk you see Erpa, which is healing, together with Meshuvasam, the act of repenting. Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina Rami. And we have here this house marking that highlights Rami, the raising of what appears to be a seeming contradiction or discrepancy in verses that needs to be resolved. So Rabbi Chama raises the following: Ksiv Shuvu Bonim Shovavim. That's the pasuk, and we understand that. I mean, Demeikara Shovavim Atem. And Rashi explains here. He says, "Ksiv erpa," or I should Rashi just a few lines before that. The meikora shovavim atem kishetasu tshuva male ani aleichem kiilu tchilas achet aydeinaras ushtus v'sheivavus. When you do repentance, I then consider you that which you did at the beginning when you sinned was done as an act of foolishness, not something we'll say that has some intense sinfulness associated with it, rather an act of foolishness. So when a person does tshuva, that's what this pasuk indicates, that retroactively the initial acts were really not something serious. We continue in the Gemara, Uksiv erpo mishuvosechem, and this Rashi explains that only after the tshuva is he considered healed, but indicating that which was before was a real sin, was viewed as a true sin. So our question is, upon doing repentance, how does that affect the initial state of sinning that the person did? So on the one hand, we see shuvah bono shuvimim, that the result of the penitence makes it such that at the beginning, when he initially sinned, it was just an act of thoughtlessness, of foolishness. On the other hand, the pasuk says erpa meshuvosechem, that doesn't reflect this retroactive type of lightening of the offense. So the Gemara answers lo kashya, there isn't any discrepancy. Kan me'avo, kan me'yiro. It depends on what type of penitence a person engaged in. If he did so and was motivated by the love of the Almighty, that type of repentance is much more significant. And then we say that retroactively that which was done at the beginning was simply an act of foolishness. However, if the repentance is done out of fear, then we say that it's considered repenting, but it doesn't undo the level of severity of the initial sin. Rav Yehuda Rami, Ksiv Shuvu Bonim Shevivim Erpo Meshuvosechem. So that's the pasuk we saw before, and here we dash on the word Bonim. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says, Ki Anochi Bo'alti Mikem V'lokachti Eschem Echod Me'iru Ushnaim Mishpacha. Now the word ba'alti is a Lashon expression of ba'alut, ownership, so that in this pasuk the Jews are considered slaves of an owner. So the discrepancy is, in one pasuk were considered sons, shuvu bonim shuvavim, and the other pasuk were considered servants. Lo kashya, there isn't a discrepancy. Kan me'avo, kan mi'ira. Kan ayidei yisurin. If the tshuva is done through either love of Hashem or a sense of fear or awe, that's okay. And then we're classified as bonim, as sons. However, if the tshuva is motivated only because a person is afflicted with pain, with yisurin, then we say that we're viewed as not bonim, but as servants. Omar Rabbi Levi, Gedola Tshuva, Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod, great is repentance, that it reaches the heavenly throne. Shenemar Shuvu Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. That your tshuva, shuvu, your repentance, reaches the Almighty Himself. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Gedola Tshuva. We continue with our list of praises of repentance. Greatness is tshuva, shedoyche es loisase shebetorah. And here you'll see that there's an analogy. It's not something that one can take literally, but it says that it overrules or supersedes that which is otherwise a negative command in the Torah. So just a word about what negative command we're referring to, and that is a woman who is married and then divorced. In the event that she marries another man in the interim, after her divorce, she can no longer return to her first husband. So that, in general, there's a concept known as Machzir Grusha. So a person is commended for taking back the woman he divorced, but that's provided that in the interim she didn't marry someone else, she didn't marry a second man. And if one does take back a wife that he divorced after she married someone else, that is a prohibition, that's a negative command. So now let's see what Rabbi Yochanan is darshaning. Shenemar, there's a pasuk that says Lemar, Hein Yishalach Ish Es Ishto V'Holcho Meito. If a man sends away his wife in divorce, and she leaves him V'Hoysel Yishacher, and she then marries someone else, Hayoshuv Elah Od, shall she be able to return? If the second fellow, let's say, would divorce her or he would die, could she go back to the first fellow? Halo chanof techanaf oratzahi. That would be considered sinful. V'ad zonis reim rabim v'shov elai ne'um Hashem. And now, turning to the Jewish people who were wedded originally to the Almighty, and then they went astray and bonded with, we'll say, with other gods, and yet the Kodesh Baruch Hu summons them back if they do tshuva, so that even though they were like the wife that married someone else in the interim and is not allowed to go back to the original husband, here the Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to take back the Klal Yisrael after it's kiviyochol married, they married some other force, they engaged in idolatry, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to take them back. Omar Rabbi Yonason, Gedola Tshuva Shemeviyo Es Hagula, great is repentance in that it brings the redemption. Shenemar Uvol Tzion Goyel Lishove Pesha B'Yakov. So the pasuk refers to the coming of the Redeemer to Zion, and Lishove Pesha Yakov, that has to do with penitence. Ma Tam Uvol Tzion Goyel, here the Gemara darshens this pasuk. Why is it that the Redeemer will come to Zion? Mishum teshave pesha b'Yakov, because there is a turning away, there is repentance from their sins. Omar Reish Lakish Gedola Tshuva Shezdoynes Nasis Loi Kishgogos, great is repentance in that it's able to convert the premeditated deliberate offenses and be made like they were done inadvertently. Shgogos Shnemar Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta bavonecha. Now, in looking at this pasuk, the Gemara comments ha avon mezid hu. The pasuk describes chashalta bavonecha. The word avon refers to a deliberate offense. V'kokori le michshol. And in the same breath, the pasuk said chashalta. Michshol means a stumbling, a mistake. Hence, Reish Lakish came to the conclusion that when one does tshuva, so that which was done b'mezid is made into something like a shogeg. The Gemara asks, "Eini, is that so?" V'amar Reish Lakish, "Gedola tshuva shezdonis nasis lo kizchuyos." This statement goes even further. Great is repentance in that something that was done deliberately, after the offender repents, it becomes considered like something meritorious. From this pasuk, we see a reference to the Shuv is tshuva, and he does what he's expected to do in achieving repentance or in performing repentance. Hu yichyeh. That is the idea that it's considered something of merit to him. So the Gemara explains that this seeming discrepancy, on the one hand we said that the zdonos are nasis lo kishgogos, and in the second maimra of Reish Lakish, it says that it's that not that the zchuyos, not that it becomes like shgogos, but his donos become like merits, kizchuyos lo kashya. There isn't a discrepancy here. Kan me'avo, kan mira. If he repents through a sense of ava, of love of the Almighty, so then we say that his zdonos become like zchuyos. If, however, it's miyura, it's out of fear, so then we say his zdonos are considered like shgogos. Shgogos being something that's it's not something meritorious, it's a sin done under mistaken circumstances. So that which he did originally as a deliberate sin is reduced to being like a shogeg, a sin without deliberate intentions. And that happens if the tshuva is a function of fear, or it's done out of fear. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar Rabbi Yonason. Gedolo tshuva, shemareches yom avushnois of shaldom. Great is penitence in that it lengthens the days and years of a person. Shenemar, uvashuv rosha mirishosai, hu yichyeh. When the sinner does tshuva, so he then lives. And that's the idea of his years being lengthened. Amri Yitzchok, Amri b'marav, mishmei d'Rava bar Mori. So Rav Yitzchok tells us that it's said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rava bar Mori, bo rei, shloch demesh baruch hu, midas boser v'dam. Notice the differences between mortal man and the Almighty. Midas boser v'dam, maknit es chavero, in human relations, if one person infuriates his friend, sofek mispayas himenu, sofek ein mispayas himenu. It's questionable whether the offended party will be appeased, will be forgiving, or not. Vim tomer mispayas himenu, and if you say he will be appeased, sofek mispayas vidvonim, sofek ein mispayas vidvonim. The appeasement might be through words, and it might not be through words. Maybe you'll have to do more than just speech. Avol, midas hakodesh baruch hu eino kein, but the ways of Hashem are not the same. Adam over avera b'seser, a person who sins in private, mispayes mena b'dvarim, hakodesh baruch hu will become appeased if you simply appeal to him with words. Shenemar, k'chu imochem dvorim. And we dash on the dvarim means take with you words, v'shuvu el Hashem. V'lo od, el Hashem machzik lo teva. Not only that, but the Almighty, not only is he appeased through mere words, but he also feels indebted. He feels a sense of gratitude. Shenemar v'kach tov. That's also in the pasuk. V'lo od, el Hashem alo v'kosuv ki'ilu hikriv porim. Your tshuva is considered as if you offered cow sacrifices. Shenemar uneshama porim svasenu. That our mouths are considered as if they are paying cows, paying with offering cows. Shema toimar porechova. You might say that they're viewed as cows that are obligatory. So it's not something that's so warmly received. It's more a payment of an obligation. So the most Talmud Lomar erpo mishuvasam ohavam nidova. They are received as if they were voluntary offerings. If we take a look at the Rashi, we're looking at Rashi on the fourth line from the top. nidava mekubelis berotzon yoser mechova. Something that is given as a gift is received more warmly than something that is given out of a sense of obligation or to fulfill an obligation. So in the last few lines we saw the point made that the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the ability to appease him is much different than a person that was offended and you need to appease him. Tanya, Hoyo Rabbi Meir Omer, Gedola Tshuva, again another bow tie marking because this is another example of the series we started earlier. Great is repentance. Shebishvil Yochid Shosat Tshuva, Moichal In Loi, Lechol Ha'olam Kulo. For his individual repentance, he is forgiven, and the whole world is as well. Shneamar Erpo Meshuvasam O'avom Nedava Kishav Api Mimenu. Mehem Lo Neamar doesn't say that I forgave. Shav Api means my wrath was quieted. Mehem. It doesn't say that in the plural. Elo Mimenu, from him. So that we see, because one person does tshuva, so that quells the wrath of the Kodesh Baruch Hu from everybody. Heichi domi baal tshuva. What does it mean to be considered someone who has repented? Om Rav Yehuda, kagon shebosa liyodo devar avera. Pam rishono shmiya, upiresh heimeno. A person who is confronted with some type of temptation, and he, Rashi says here, Shabbat Dvar Aviru Liodo, and he adds, Oiso Aviru She Nichshal Bo Kvar. Person who, let us say, yielded to his temptation regarding some type of offense, and he was able subsequently, being under the same circumstances, once and twice, and didn't repeat the act that he originally violated, that's a baal tshuva. Machvi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda points out ba'oisa isha uba'oisa perek uba'oisa makim. So in order to appreciate this, we have to speak about someone who behaved in an illicit act of immorality, of intimacy. Now, so he stumbled, he fell, so to speak, with a particular woman on some occasion, in some place. When is a person considered a baal tshuva? If he encounters that same woman in the same place at the same time and doesn't fall and doesn't yield to his temptation again. Omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Rami. Rav Yehuda tells us that Rav raised the following contradiction. Ksiv Ashrei Nisui Pesha Kesui Chata. Fortunate is the one that covers over his sins. Uksiv Mechasip Shav Lo Yatzliach. One who covers his sins will not be successful. So we have a seeming contradiction. Either it's praiseworthy to cover your sins, or it's detrimental to cover your sins. It depends. If it's a well-known offense, that's called a chet mefursam. Rashi says, "Tov lo shiyode v'yizbayesh v'lo yichbar boy." Better for him to admit it, experience a sense of embarrassment, and not to deny it. That's when you're dealing with when the original sin was something that was well known. However, there's the chet she'eno meforsam. There, you shouldn't reveal your sin, and your remaining silent about it is an honor to Hashem. That, namely, as Rashi explains, reading the words of Rashi, a little bit more than halfway down the middle of the page where we dashed underline, Mashaltam chote befarhesya miu kvod shamayhu. That which a person sins publicly reduces the honor of the Almighty. So if it's a chet she'eino mefursam, if it's not well known, don't you go ahead and let it be known. So that's how the first pasuk, or that's the association with the first pasuk, Ashrei nesui pesha kesli chato. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar, Rav Nachman, Rav Zutra quoting Rav Nachman says, Kan Bavir Shebein Odom Lechaveru, Kan Bavir Shebein Odom Lemalkoim. If it's a type of offense that was done against fellow man, so then you should let it be known that you did such and such a sin to your friend, and that will encourage those around him to seek the forgiveness from the one who was offended. And if it's Averus Urbein Olam Lamokom, so regarding those, we say, don't publicize them. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Odom Over Avera Pam Rishona, Mochan Lo, a person commits a sin once, he could be forgiven. Shnia Mochan Lo, Shishus Mochan Lo, a second time, a third time offender, Mochan Lo means he's forgiven. Raviya Sein Mochan Lo, however, if he repeats the sin a fourth time, he won't receive forgiveness. Shinemar, Koyamar Hashem, Al Shlosha Pishe Yisrael, V'al Arbo'o Lo Ashivenu. For three offenses I can overlook, but the fourth I cannot. V'omer, Hein Kol Ela Yif'al Keel Pamayim Shalosh Im Gever. That's a posuk. My V'omer, what does this second posuk add? V'chitema, well, without this second posuk, I might have thought, Hani Mili, B'tzibur, that which we said, that a person sins once, twice, and all, and that's when you're dealing with the public. Avol biyochid lo, but with regard to a private person, then not the same. Toshma, therefore we bring in the second posuk, hein kol elu yifal keel pamayim shalosh imgever, and there you see imgever meaning with a person in the singular. So that which Rabbi Yossi taught, that up till, let's say, three a time offender, he will be forgiven, but a fourth time, no, that applies to a private individual. Before we continue, let us glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature Roman numerals 1 and 2. We will see in the upcoming Tanaic source, Shnei Machloikos Tanoim Be'inyan Vidui, two separate Tanaic controversies that are related to the matter of confession. Number 1, Averos Shisvate Alehem Yoim Kippurim Zeh, a person who committed offenses, and when Yom Kippur came, he confessed them in his prayers. Mahu lehisvadis alehem Yom Kippur Acher. How do we view him confessing those same offenses on a subsequent Yom Kippur? Is it a good thing to confess them again or not? Number 2. Ha'im ha'misvade tzorech lefarek es achet. In confessing, does one have to specify the sins that he is confessing? Or is it enough simply to say, I confess that which I have sinned? Or do you have to spell out the sins? So now the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Averos shehisvada lehem yoyim kippurim zeh, lo yisvada lehem Yom HaKippur Machir. Sins that one confessed this Yom Kippur, do not confess them next Yom Kippur or on a subsequent Yom Kippur. V'im Shona Bohen Tzorach L'Hisvados Yom Kippur Machir. If he repeated those sins after Yom Kippur, so then on the following Yom Kippur, he does have to confess them. V'im Lo Shona Bohen V'chozer V'Hisvada Lehem. If he didn't repeat the sins and nevertheless confessed them again, Alav Hakosef Omer. Now we have a number one here because there is a second opinion on what we're about to learn. But the first opinion says, regarding someone who confesses again a sin that he didn't commit a second time, So it says Kekelev Shov al Kio Ksil Shaina Bivosai. Like a dog returns to his vomit, the fool repeats his foolishness. In other words, if he sinned once, confessed, and he confessed on Yom Kippur, and then after Yom Kippur, he didn't repeat that sin, and yet, nevertheless, next Yom Kippur, he repeats the confession over such a sin, so this is what we refer to him. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer. However, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, Kol shekein shehu meshubach, a person who feels the need to confess the same sin a second time, even though he didn't repeat it, well, he's all the more praiseworthy. Shenemar, ki psho'ai ani edo v'chatosi negdi somid. Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim that I am aware of my offenses and my sins are in front of me at all times. So that a person who confesses again it's an indication that he is constantly aware of the fact that he had sinned, and that's praiseworthy. The brackets that are here are not for skipping purposes, but since we wanted to point out that there are two matters of confession within this Tanaic source, so we wanted to isolate that which is not not related directly to confession. We have a note on the side that points this out. So Graham Elu, by the starred note, it says, So Graham Elu, Einom L'shem Diluk, Elo, Me'achas Shirotzinu L'chlol, Inyone Vidui, B'mizgeres Achas, Va'aketa Shesubrayim, Hu Me'ha Gemara, V'lo Me'ha Braisa. Therefore, we see lenachon levodeid oisoi hochi. Since we wanted to include two laws concerning confessions, two machlekes tanoim, in the same frame, so the section in the middle is we call an interruption of the Gemara. However, it doesn't warrant skipping, so we continue reading. Ella, once Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that it's a positive thing to repeat a confession over a sin you didn't, that it itself you didn't repeat, so then elamani mekai kekelev shavalkio v'chulei. So then what do I make of the pasuk cited by the first opinion, the analogy to the dog returning to that which it vomited up? So the answer to that is what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does with that is k'derav huna. That can be understood like Rav Huna's teaching. The Amar Rav Huna, Kevan Shavar Adam Avera V'Shana Ba, once a person sins and repeats that sin, we skip the angular brackets for a minute, Nasis Lo Keheter. It becomes like something permissible in his eyes. In other words, after a person sins once, so there's still chance he feels uncomfortable about it. But if he repeats the sin, He shows us that he's comfortable with this sinning, and it's as if it became something that's mutter in his eyes. Now we skip the angular brackets. Let's read the line again. With the information inside the brackets is actually inaccurate, and that's what we had to fix that expression, and that's why we skipped to read immediately the fixed version. But in the reading the line again. Kevon she'oda avar oda maver v'shana ba hutra lo. Once a person sins a second time, the same offense twice, it becomes mutter. Hutra lo sakadaita. Do you really mean it becomes mutter? Elo emo. Rather, what should be said, nasis lo keheter. It's as if it's mutter in his eyes, but not that it's actually mutter, not that it's actually permissible. Roman numeral number 2. V'tzorach lifrod esachet. One who confesses must itemize the sins. Shenemar, ono chata ha'am hazeh, chata gedela, vayasu lohem elohe zahav. The Pasuk describes a confession and spelling out that sin that they violated, the making of the golden image, the golden calf. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's opinion. Tzorach lefarid esachet. Rabbi Akiva Omer. And Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Ein tzorach. So you don't have to spell out the sin. Shenema ashrei nesui pesha kesui chata'a. Fortunate is the one that covers over his sins. Covers over, doesn't articulate them, spell them out. Elamahu shomar Moshe vayasu lehem elehezov. So then, if there is praise to one who covers the actual sin, doesn't articulate the actual sin, but so what do we make of the pasuk that the first opinion cited in favor of specifying the sin? So the Gemara answers, Kidu Rabbi Yanai. That is, that Rabbi Akiva will darshan the posuk involving Vasilem Elhezov as Rabbi Yanai approaches the topic. The Omar Rabbi Yanai, Omar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe beseeched the Almighty, said, Rebbeinu Shalom, Kesef Ezov, Shir Beisol, Lehem Yisrael, At Shomru Dai, the vast amount of gold and silver that you bestowed upon them until they had to say enough, enough. Goram lohem shiasu elohe zov. When one becomes extremely wealthy, there's a temptation to sin, and that is what caused them to sin. So Moshe was advocating on behalf of the Jewish people that it's not really their fault. It's because of the overabundance of good that you, the Almighty, provided to them that caused them to go astray. Shnei parnosim tovim omdu lohem liYisrael. Two fine leaders ruled over Israel. Moshe v'David. Two very famous personalities. And as we go on, we're going to notice a double underline marking, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we indicate Moshe Omar Yichtov Surchoni. Moshe wanted his offense to be recorded. David Omar Lo Al Yichtov Surchoni. David did not want his particular offense to be spelled out, to be written out. This dichotomy will be explained as we go along in the Gemara. So we mentioned that there were two famous positive leaders, but each one had an almost opposite approach to this matter of recording their sins. Moshe Omar, Yichta Yikosev Surchani, let my Surchanim, is my waywardness, my sin, be recorded. Shenemar Yan Lo Hemantan Bila Kisheni. This pasuk is in the context of the hitting of the rock, whereas Moshe and Aaron were instructed to speak to the rock in order for it to bring forth water, but they whipped it, and that was a function of their lack of emunah, full faith in the Almighty, and that resulted in Moshe Rabbeinu not being allowed to enter the land of Israel. David Omar, Al Yikosev Surchani, don't record my sin. Shenemar, Ashrei Nisui Peshek Sui Chato. David HaMelech says, fortunate is the one that in fact covers up his hides, it covers up, does not publicize his sin. Now, the sin referred to in the case of David, technically speaking, the Gemara in Shabbat says wasn't a real sin, but it had to do with his arranging for him, David, to be able to take Bas Sheva as his wife at a time that David was planning this. She had been already married to Uriah, but David HaMelech eventually got her, and as far as how he got her and all those are technical issues, but David HaMelech didn't want his sin to be publicized. Moshol de Moshe v'David lema David oima. We have these two individuals. What are their behaviors to be parallel to? L'shtei noshim shelaku b'beisin. Two women. Imagine two women that were lashed in basin. Achas kilkula, achas ochla pagishvias. One got lashed because of some acts of immorality. We'll say it's very embarrassing. And one was punished because she ate pagishvias. Pagishvias have to do with fruits of Shemitah. Rashi says, "Tainim shilobishu kol tzorchon," eating unripe or figs were not fully ripened, and that is forbidden when you're dealing with seventh year fruit products. You're supposed to eat them in their full full state, not prematurely. Again, that has to do with laws regarding the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, but for our purposes, we see an analogy here. Two women, one did a type of offense, and both of them are getting lashed, but for different offenses. One because of immorality, and the other because she ate pagei shvias, unripe figs. Omra lahen, oisa she'achla pagei shvias. So the woman that got lashed because she ate the pagei shvias, she says, bevakosha mikem, hodiu al ma hi loka. Let it be known why I am getting lashed. Shelo yomru, so that people won't say, amashe zuloka, zuloka. They shouldn't associate the one woman with the other. So, what did they do? Heviu pagi shvias v'tolbet savora. They brought some unripe shvias figs, tie them around her neck. V'hoyu machrizin l'fonel v'yomrin. They called out and announced, al iske shvias hi loka. She is getting whipped, she's getting lashed because of a shvias, a shmita year, related sin. And with that, she's able to preserve her dignity, that even though she sinned and even she got lashed, but it's not, we'll say, as scornful or distasteful or disparaging as someone who engaged in an act of immorality. So it's with this analogy, we appreciate the interest of Moshe to have his sin revealed. We didn't explain earlier, but if it wouldn't have been revealed, people would have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu died along with the generation of Jews that died in the Midbar. And now their dying in the Midbar was a result of what we would consider a big sin. Accepted the message of the Meraglim and spoke ill of the land of Israel, and that was a shameful event. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, though he died in the Midbar, nevertheless he didn't die because of that sin. So he wanted that information to be revealed. That's why it was important for there to be a pasuk involving the hitting of the rock, Yan lo himantem bi lahakdisheni, indicating that Moshe Rabbeinu's death was not a result of his being part of the Dor HaMidbar that died in the desert, having defamed the land of Israel. The source that's introduced in the Gemara tells us something very significant. Mefarsimim es hachanofim et nechil Hashem. Mefarsimin is, it means to expose. Chanofim, we can say in loose English, we call them fakers. Rashi describes this. Rashi occupies both columns of commentary. So Rashi says, Mefarsimim es hachanofim shehein rishoyim umarim atzmon kitzadikim. People that are inherently or internally wicked, but they create the impression that they are pious. If you happen to know his ways, then mitzvah lefarsimo v'nechil Hashem. It's a mitzvah to expose him so as to avoid chilul Hashem. Well, what is that? Shebnei odom lemeidim mimaisov shesvurin olav shutzalik. Here you have a person that's really crooked, but people think he is pious, and they'll learn from his ways, and they'll end up leading a life of crookedness. And furthermore, when punishment does befall the faker, people think that there's no value in Torah study and piety because they associate this person, which we called the faker, with piety, and yet he is going to suffer punishment. And so then that could result in what we call the Chilul Hashem, that people will think that there's no value in Torah study and the pursuit of mitzvos. So hence, this source exhorts us to expose the phonies. Neishul Hashem, so as to prevent what eventually would be a defamation of the name of the Almighty. Shnemar, Uveshuv Tzalik Mitzikosa Vosa Ovel Venosati Michsho Lefonov. This pasuk needs to be explained, and we look at Rashi for this. Shnemar, Uveshuv Tzalik Mitziko Seifei Dekro, the end of the pasuk says, Venosati Michsho Lefonov. Animamtzi liyodochei dalui lakol shikoshibo v'yedu es maisov. The pasuk is telling us that as far as these fakers are concerned, the Kodesh Baruch Hu eventually brings about a situation where they will sin and it will become public knowledge that they are sinners and thereby discover his wayward ways. Continuing in the Gemara, Tshuvas Hamuchlotin Ma'akeves Hapuronus. The tshuva, the repentance of the completely wicked, that restrains punishment from befalling us. Vafapi Shenechtam Olov Gzardin Shelpuronus. And he prevents the Puronus, the punishment, from coming upon him, even if the heavenly decree was signed that he should suffer a particular punishment. So that tshuva can prevent even a signed edict from being enforced. Shalvas Rishoyim Seifa Takola. Shalva is peace. The wicked that experience peacefulness, the end is takola. The end is a stumbling. Rashi says, "Shavas from Sofer Takolah mitoch shavosim heim yoshvim umaharin baveras." They sit around. The wicked sit around because they have because they have shava, they have peace. So they sit around scheming and thinking about their sins or thinking about sinning. So the free time or the easy time that Rishonim have doesn't stand in their good stead. It's Sofer Takolah. For Rishus mekaveras is baleha. And the Roshus is a position of leadership, buries the occupants of that office. Orum nichnasla v'orum yotza mimena. A person enters leadership. He enters it with nothing and leaves it with nothing. Ulevai shetei yitzia kebia. And it should only be that his departure from that office should be like his entrance to the office, meaning without sin. This is a Maimer Chazal that has very broad ramifications, dealing with all those people that occupy offices and positions of authority when there's a lot of room for messing up and hurting people and possibly taking bribes and yielding to all types of seductions. So the expression here is that one who does occupy a position of authority, someone who is put into that position, it should only be that his entering it should be able to leave the same way he entered, without any problems. Rav ki have nofik lemeidan dina omar hachi. Rav, when he was on his way to serve as a judge to judge cases, he would say as follows: Bitzavu nafshe lekat lenofik. On his own will, tzavu berotzayin atzmo. On his own will, he goes out to kill himself. That's lekat lo. Kat lo is to kill, to be killed. The Rashi is found at the top of Pei Zayin of Aleph. B'tzavu nafshi b'tzun atzmo l'kat lozil lisa einish chet shemo yishgeh b'din v'al atzmo amar kein. To go out to be killed is an expression referring to that I'm going to judge and I might mess up in my judgment. I might make a mistake and I'll have to bear the sin of having issued a mistaken judgment. So Rav continues with his expression. It's an expression of humility. And he continues saying, "Vitzavu beisei lesu ovid," the will of his household he doesn't fulfill, meaning by sitting in judgment he doesn't get paid for that, he doesn't make any money from that. "V'reikon lebeisei ozil," and he comes back home empty-handed. "Ulevai shete bio ki yitzio," and it should only be that his return should be like his leaving, like his departure for the judgment. Just like before the judgment he hadn't sinned, he didn't judge yet, so he hadn't sinned in an erroneous judgment. His prayer is that he should be able to return home the same way he left. We continue at the top of Pei Zion Amud Aleph, after the brackets on the third line. V'chi havechozi ambuha abasrei, and when Rav would see throngs of people following him to bestow honor upon him, Omar, he, in order to feel or to, in order to counter the feeling of haughtiness, he would say, "Im yalu l'shamayim si'o v'rosho la'ov yagia," if a person should rise heavenwards and his heads reach into the clouds, "Gelulo l'netzach yoved ro'ov yomru ayo." Eventually, he is lost like gelu, like a piece of dung. People will ask, "Where did he go? Where is he?" It's an expression, once again, of humility. In order to preserve, after seeing all the honor people are showing to him, it can go to your head. So he said this to thwart any feelings of haughtiness. Rav Zutra kiava mekasvei b'shabata derigla. Rav Zutra was an important person, and he was also what's being described here is in his old age. So he would be carried on people's shoulders to where he would sit. So Rashi says, "Mekasvele zokin hoy v'noisnaso v'alunki b'kasvein beis hamedrash lo atriach satzibo lokum miponav." He was carried on a type of rickshaw, something where he would sit on something. People carried him on their shoulders, and this was done so that people wouldn't be troubled to rise for him if he were to walk through the crowd of people that were already seated. They'd have to stand up, so this enabled that to be avoided. So that's what's described here of Zutra when they were carrying him in, and the Shabbos derigla means the Shabbos of the holiday. Have Omar ki lo le'olam choisen v'imnezer ledor vador. Like we saw before with Rav, he would cite this posuk as an expression of humility, that greatness and strength does not last forever. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.